We've been talking about sweet spot. Somebody say sweet spot. And today I want to talk about the sweet spot of, listen to me here, deciding, somebody say deciding, to be happy. I didn't say, thank you, Tamara. I didn't say the sweet spot of being happy. I said there's a sweet spot of deciding to be happy. And that seems even foreign to us. I want to read this first. I wrote this yesterday. I want to read this and then, because I want this to get in your spirit, and then we'll take off from there. Does that make sense? I have this question I'm asking. Are you feeling low? Has anybody ever woke up and you just feel bummed out? And sometimes you know exactly why. But sometimes you're not even sure why it is. Do you sometimes feel sad, melancholy, even depressed? Listen to me. There's a very, very bad thing to let that go on and on and on in your life. Giving into your emotions, allowing yourself to be sad because of how you feel emotionally is very, very destructive. Giving into your emotions and letting your emotions govern you instead of you governing your emotions. God didn't design us to be controlled by our physical appetites or by our emotional fluctuations. You can influence your own mood, sad or glad. And over a period of time, take back your emotions that are out of control. But emotions can sometimes be stubborn, and this self-indulgence can become your emotions, your sadness can become out of control. And it can become deep-rooted. You need to minister to yourself. David confronts himself. Sometimes you need to not put up with such nonsense. Somebody says, get in touch with your feelings. I say, no, get in touch with God. Amen. And get in touch with His Word. Sometimes we just need to start to preach to ourselves. I'm not saying that your emotions aren't strong, and I don't mean to say they're not real. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting because how many know not a lot of people smoke anymore? You know what I mean? I'm talking about like cigarettes or pipes or you know, stogies, cigars. But stogies, that's funny, huh? But when I was a kid, my dad used to take me to the Dodger game. And you know what? We didn't have a lot of money. That's the truth. We didn't. But one of the guys, a sports writer for the Whittier Daily News, came to the church. He was part of the church. And so he used to give us tickets all the time. It was awesome. And I love the Dodgers. You know what I mean? I love the Dodgers for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I love the Dodgers is because when they went to the World Series, you know, sometimes they'd win. But the truth is, I love the Dodgers. Win or lose, I love the Dodgers. I could tell you all the infielders. I could tell you the coach. I could tell you all about that. I loved cheering for the Dodgers. I loved going to the Dodger game because at the Dodger game, you know what? It was so cool because, you know what? I could eat all kinds of junk. You know what I mean? You know what? When I'm at home, you know what? My mom's like, oh, that'll, you know, don't spoil your meal. You know what I mean? But, you know, I love when my, this is just a side note, but it's an interesting note. I didn't really like when my mom would go to the grocery store, but I loved when my dad would go to the grocery store. My mom would go to the grocery store. We didn't, there was no Twinkies, no Ho-Hos, no, none of that stuff. No donuts, no any of that stuff. But when my dad went to the grocery store, you know what? It was like, hey, you know, he'd say, hey, Drew, can you help me out with the groceries? I was like, heck yeah, man, let's go. Well, it was the same way when I went to Dodger Stadium. When I went to Dodger Stadium, I mean, you know what? You know, the tickets were free. We'd eat peanuts and hot dogs and Pepsi. I mean, it was just a good day. And you know what? All that was cool. But you know, the truth is, I was with my dad. I was with my dad. And I loved it. Well, back in the day when I went to Dodger Stadium, you know what? Nobody was smoking marijuana, but they were smoking cigarettes and stogies and, you know what, pipes. And that those smells, you know what, just were all over. And so it's a weird thing. You know what? I'll be somewhere, I'll go to the grocery store, and somebody will be smoking a cigarette outside, and I'll smell that, and I'll think, oh, man. And all of a sudden, there would be this emotions of good. And you say, Pastor, you like the smell of cigarettes? No, I don't like it. I love it. I love it. You know what? I love to smell cigars. I love that because all that is connected to this emotion of me hanging out with my dad. Does that make sense? Now, I tell you that story because in the course of time, how many know we live in a very self-indulgent society? The Bible says, in the last days, men will become lovers of self rather than lovers of God. And we haven't really heard a lot of teaching. You know, Pastor Bradford was a wonderful pastor, but one of the things he used to say to us, and he'd say it all the time, he'd say, hey, did you have a good week? And if you were in the church, you kind of knew what he was setting you up for. Tell me, you know what he's going to say, right? Did you have a good week? Did you have, and some people would raise their hand, and he said, did you have a bad week? And somebody would raise their hand, people would raise their hand. And it's, then he'd say, what would he say, Tamara? What was the next line? It's your fault. And people will laugh. And Pastor Bradford wasn't trying to be mean. Actually, he was trying to teach us something that we really need to know. Now, if we need to know that, if we needed to know that as a society, you know what, 25 years ago, when I was underneath Pastor Bradford, how many know we really need to learn this today? You know, it's so interesting to me because a lot of the misinformation that is spewed at the universities, you know what I mean? Somebody needs to raise their hand and go, actually, scientifically, that's just not true. You know, you get in this environment and somebody says it's that way and somebody says it, then that same other person agrees with them and agrees with them, agrees with them, agrees with them, agrees with them. And you create this atmosphere of, and it doesn't even have to be true. But in a lot of times in the academic circles, there is such pressure to conform to conventional wisdom. Listen to me. Even if that wisdom isn't scientific. Can I tell you what all the scientific research is saying? That we have, let me tell you first the false narrative. The false narrative is that we are just an advanced, we're just advanced in the chain of evolution. But ultimately, the decisions and the choices we make and the feelings that we feel are hardwired. And that's just how it is. So ultimately, well, what a convenient way to think. How many know what that does? It voids you of any responsibility. The interesting thing about that theory is scientifically, it's just not showing itself to be true as they do the research in the brain and how people think and how people can actually take control of their emotions. Now, watch this. Think of it as far as God's concerned. How many know that Jesus made every single one of us? The Bible says nothing was made except that he wasn't there. Okay. And Jesus, who knows how we are made, tells us several times, you know what, more than several times, many, many, many times in the Word, that we are responsible for how we think. And we are not only responsible how we think, we're responsible to how we feel. Amen? Remember what Paul says? Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And then, just to make sure we get it, then what does he say after that? He says, then again I say rejoice. In other words, I want you to really understand. I know what I'm saying. This is, you are responsible for you to be filled with rejoicing. You say, oh, but rejoicing and happy are two different things. Well, I don't really want to get into that because I think that can nuance out. But I'll just say it like this. You show me somebody who's rejoicing all the time, and I'll show you somebody who's happy. Can you say amen? So the sweet spot is you figuring out today that you're going to control your mood. And that you're going to, how many would rather be happy than sad? Okay, we got that. That was good. It was about 100%, amen? But I want to show you some things and go over some things in the Word of God to just, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, there's with all the homeless and all the just uncleanliness that is taking place in many of our cities, there are outbreaks of disease happening. Do you know this is true? And it's dangerous, and it needs to be figured out. But I like what this person said. They said that, you know what, the main epidemic in our society is anger. Is that not right? I mean, people are angry. And here's the thing that I want to confront all of us with. And they're clinging to their anger. They're saying, no, I'm angry, and I have every right to be angry, and you better not disagree with my point of view. And I would say, you know what? We're called to be separate from that. We're different. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, we're different. But the society has caught a hold of us and caught a hold of our thinking. And there's many Christians, even the Bible says, to whom whose God has set free is free indeed. But there's many people in the body of Christ, they're not free. And they'll live day after day, year after year, month after month. I said that wrong, but anyway, you get the point. And nobody confronts them and says, hey, what's your problem? You know what? Why are you so sad? You know, it's like sadness isn't, matter of fact, and please don't misunderstand me. This isn't, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm teaching people. Amen? I mean, if something has got to be taught in the body of Christ, it's that Christ has set us free from everything that has us bound. Amen. We should be the most joyous, free people, happy people. You know, are you kidding me? Look at what Christ has done. I mean, oh my goodness. So I want to teach you this a little bit today. Amen. Let me just start off with this passage, and we'll go back to this in a minute. This is David, and he says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall set praise him. What? Thank you. For I shall yet, I said set. That Y became an S. For I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, aren't you glad for God's help? And aren't you glad that David asked himself, hey, why are you so down? My first point is this. Sometimes you have to ask yourself tough questions. See, it's really good. We need to ask ourselves, hey, what is our problem? After all that God did to us, how come we're depressed? How come we're so sad? How come we're so melancholy? How come we go sometimes hour after hour, moment after moment, sometimes day after day? And what I said in my opening statement, I'm telling you what, that is dangerous. Because just like I'm telling you what, you have great influence in how you think in your attitude. But these attitudes, these things that are going on, you are setting your brain up and your brain is starting to think that way. And to some extent, you set yourself up, your brain kind of stays that way. Hello. That's why, you know what, I smell somebody, you know what, smoking a cigar, and I don't go, ooh, you know, ooh. I go, oh, man, that smells good. Why? Because I've made those associations in my head. See, Tamara, how do I go to my wife is, oh, how do, what? There we go. Listen to this. This is a scientist who studies the brain, and she says this. Stimulations are your brain's guesses of what's happening in the world. In every waking moment, you're faced with ambiguous, noisy information from your eyes, from your ears, from your nose, and other sensory organs. Your brain uses your past experiences to construct hypotheses. The stimulation and compiles it in a
cacophony.
Yeah, cacophony. Arriving from your senses. What it's saying is you get these senses that are coming in from your eyes and your all these sensories, and your brain interprets what's really going on. But it's interesting because she says all this is just information. But your brain comes up with the theory of what that stuff means. Is that interesting? To me it is, because how many know, you know what, you can, here, let me give for instance. I don't really like dogs very much. Come on, you can say amen to this. In that, you know what, how many know dogs can bite you? You know what, George, what kind of dog do you have? A pit bull. Let me tell you what, if you met this pit bull is the sweetest. He is the sweetest dog I've ever met. He is so sweet. But I get around that pit bull, and I'm like, I try to act cool, but I'm not cool. Inside, I'm like freaking out. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, why? Because I've read over the years that pit bulls can turn on a dime, and they, you know what, and all the stories I've heard, and so it doesn't make any difference. Here's what I'm saying. That when the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. So I'm getting, let me get to the end of my message. The reality is, has Christ died on the cross?
Oh, yes, he did.
Okay. Can anyone accept his redeeming blood and be absolutely free from all sin. Can anybody do that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Have you done that? Does that mean that you're going to, I said, have you done that? Does that mean that you're going to heaven forever? Did Jesus not say that when I leave, it's going to be a good thing because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you? Did Jesus say that? Did the Bible say that the same Spirit of God who lives and raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you? Has the Bible told you that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Has the Bible said, do you know this, that greater is he that's inside of you than he that's in the world? Oh my goodness. What I'm saying is this stimulus that comes, you know what, should come with this understanding of what, that things are tipped into our favor, that God hasn't withheld anything from us. You know what? He's withheld no good thing from us. And story after story after story in the Word of God of you seeing Jesus coming and changing people's lives, you know what, is how we should interpret this stimulus that comes to us. So I need to look at this ferocious dog and reckon, he's not really ferocious, but I need to look at this dog and say, no. Angels were given charge over me. That nothing, you know what, would absolute, no. I'm protected by angels that are appointed to me. Yeah, come on. Man, no dog's going to tear up my leg.
That's right. Come on.
No. I don't have time for that. Can somebody say amen to this? Are you learning something? So we have to ask ourselves tough questions. One of the questions we have to ask is, why in the world are we putting up with this sadness in our life? Why do we do that? And David asked that. He said, why are you so downcast? Why are you so bummed out? What's the bummer today? Well, I want to go over a couple things that causes us to be bummed out. One, it's an attitude of this, I don't have enough. I don't have enough. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Now, let me give you a great example of this. You're like, I don't covet. Hold on. Let's ask some tough questions, okay? When Lucifer was in heaven, and he is the number one angel, it's all kinds of things the Bible says how awesome God made him, and the scope of his gifting that was given to him. But Lucifer, you know what, looks at God and says, no, I'm not enough. I won't be like him.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
See, this coveting is a big thing. And I believe it's the source of a bunch of junk in our lives. Bunch of junk. So then God says, I'm not putting up with that. Jesus said he saw him, just God drop him. Like lightning. Okay. So Satan is in the garden with Adam and Eve. And think about this. And Eve and Adam can be in control of everything. You know, that's what God put them in control of everything in the garden? Oh, well, almost everything. But Satan comes to Eve and says, hey, what do you have control of? Everything. Oh, except one thing, this tree. Yeah. See, that original sin was a sin of covetousness. She didn't have enough. You're complacent. Look, tie the two in together. Amen. I'm going to show you, we're not going to take a long time. I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture. We're just going to bullet point these scriptures and see what the Bible says. No, stop it. Stop being in the place of you're not content with what you have. That's not, if I just would have married a different person, you know what I mean? If I just have more, if I just have a nicer home, if I just, boom, 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 all this discontentment that's taking place in our life. And it comes for this covetousness. So, she's got all this. Imagine, And you have no idea. The Garden of Eden was, you know what? You think Yosemite was cool. The Bible says that the creation is under the curse. It groans to be, that tree is groaning to be released to the beauty that it once was. We have no idea how awesome the garden was. And she's going to, see, you think it, we get deceived. We think it is, no. I'm godly. I just want a little more. And God says, no. You're not godly. This is craziness. And it's causing this sadness to come in your life because you're never satisfied with what you have. You're never happy.
Right.
It's always, you know what, as soon as, you know what, my spouse changes, then I'm going to be happy. As soon as, no, really. And God is like, are you kidding me? That's what, that after what I've done to for you, you're going.
You think that's, it is really, see, here's the thing. Until we understand what the problem is, it doesn't get fixed. And we keep on walking in sadness, and we keep on walking in sadness, and we keep on walking in sadness because we think, you know what, as soon as this happens, then I'll be happy. You know? It is terrible because it's keeping us in bondage. And it's not what we're called to do. Watch all these passages, just real quick. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, be happy with what you have. But the main person you have is me. So what in the world are you bummed out? You got a flat tire on the freeway when I promised never to leave you or forsake you. What? I mean, do you hear the writer? It's like, oh my goodness. And let me say this. We've gotten so used to this thinking that we don't even recognize we do it. Watch how many times it's in the Word of God. Watch this. How godliness with contentment is great gain. Are you catching this? Why? Watch this. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Hello. I'm telling you, it's all throughout the Word of God. And we don't even see it because we think, oh, that's not me. No. It's a source of our discontentment. We always want something. You know what? Jimmy Evans says that there's couple divorcing couple. It's you talk about an epidemic. Divorce is an epidemic in our country. And one of the main reasons is that the person that I married is not perfect. Well, duh! Revelation, you know what I mean? And here's a new news flash. The person that married you isn't perfect. Hello, somebody. And so we're divorcing someone because of their 20% jacked upness. And we don't see the 80%. See, godliness with contentment. Somebody say, with contentment. Look, it's all throughout the Word of God. Watch this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Look, let me clarify this. I'm not suggesting that you can't desire for greatness in your family, in your businesses, in your ministries. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about where God, watch this, where God has placed these dreams in your heart and you're not satisfied with where you're at. You want more. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this situation where you don't recognize that where you're at. You know what? Listen, I live in a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful house. But when I was living on a balcony in Newport Beach, on a balcony, somebody say on a balcony.
On a balcony.
I was happy. Amen. I was happy. Amen. See, it's about recognizing that God loves you and you have him. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed, watch this, from the faith. And in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many what? See, they're bummed. You know, they just live life bummed. And it might start with one day, but if you don't bring this back, if you don't get this on the plumb line quick, in the society we live in, that one day will become who you are. And others, and sometimes people don't even see it. And you wake up and you start complaining, and then you complain at 9, and you complain at 10, and you complain at, you ever been around a complainer? You know what complainers do? They complain. And it's become, and listen. And you're like, oh, I'm not a complainer. Well, here, do me a favor. Be quiet. Or don't be quiet. Just start to listen to yourself. You know, if we had a recording, I'm just wondering, if we had a recording and we recorded you, how many times would you complain? You know what? The food's too hot. It's, you know, this is mushy. You know, this is sour. You know, it's too hot. It's too cold. It's too, you know what? I don't like my hair. And just become, and it becomes who, what? Listen to me. It becomes who you are. You know, the Bible says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So, I don't believe in all that stuff. I don't believe in all that stuff. You know what? Do me a favor. Before you start talking about how crazy that is, start reading your Bible. Amen? Let me tell you about Jesus. Do you believe Jesus? Jesus said, you know what? He spoke. How many know the Bible says death and life is the power of the tongue? You know, Jesus spoke death to what? He spoke death to that fig tree. Amen? Did he not? How many know Jesus spoke life to something else? Who did he speak life to? Spoke life to Lazarus. See, Jesus, how many know Jesus spoke to the wind? Amen? What did he tell the wind to do? Stop! You know what? And they all looked around him like, oh my goodness. You know what Jesus says after that? He looks at him and says, hey, guys, what's your problem? All I'm saying is we have to recognize God wants us, you know what, to change from the inside. And this complaining about stuff, it really needs to stop because it is changing. Listen to me. It's changing your brain. It is changing your brain. Amen. See, your brain is like all this is all just a bunch of bushes. And you just do this path. And then you come back. You know what? You're going to grandma's house. And she's got cookies, so you like to go back. And pretty soon, what happened to this, all this brush? It's gone. There's this path there. That's what happens in your brain. And you start making this, you know what? This is how my life is. And this is how my family is. And this is how my spouse is. And this is how my finances are. And this is how, you know what? Because my grandpa was like this and my granny was like this. And that's just how it is. And pretty soon, you know what? I can't convince you of nothing. Because that's how it's too concreted. And it's become hardwired. But you hardwired it. Does that make sense? Well, here's the good news. You know, Pastor, that's, you know, how many, you don't even have to raise your hand. Like, but in your mind, right now, in the conviction of the Holy Spirit, again, don't raise your hand, but I'm saying in your mind, how many of you need to raise your hand today and say, no, Pastor, that is me. The Holy Spirit knows what who that's me. And maybe some of you, it's not you every day, but how many know? You know what? Let me just make you some brownies.
know what? And I'll make brownies without poop in it, and I'll make some brownies with poop in it. No, it's just got a, I just complain on Thursday and Friday. Listen to me, somebody. I just complain. Listen, I've got every reason to complain. No, you don't. Who came up with that? See, that's your victim card you throw out there. No, I got every reason to. I got a right to. You got a right to ruin your life if you want to ruin it. But you don't have to ruin it. Put the victim card back in your pocket. Here, do better. Rip up the victim card. Amen. Can somebody say amen to this? But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Stop acting like this. Stop being focused on that which you shouldn't be focused on. Amen. Number one, you don't have enough. You know what? Number two, I've been hurt, therefore I deserve to be sad. Well, I kind of touched on that. You can do whatever you want to do. But I would say, to whom much is given, much is required. And I would say, you're going to sit before God someday. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with what you had? And when you say, you know what, I would have, but this happened in my life, and this happened, and this person hurt me, and that person hurt me, and that person hurt me, and that person hurt me. See, understand what Satan has got. Just like, how many know God has a plan for you? How many know Satan has a plan for you? And his plan for you is for you to get sad and justify it, that you wouldn't do what David said. And he said, let me go back to the original text. You know what? Why are you so downcast? How in the world are you letting yourself live like this? That's right. And what he's really saying is, you know what? Stop it. He's speaking to himself. His soul. His soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your emotions, your mind. You've got to be proactive in this. You've got to make a decision. You know what? You say, Pastor, what do you do when you feel melancholy? You know what? I praise. You know what? What do you praise? I just listen to what the Holy Spirit says, and he'll quicken me to a song. I've told you this. I've got a whole jukebox of wonder. I was raised in the church, so I'm blessed. I have a whole jukebox of songs. You know what I mean? You know what? I mean, it's creative what songs come out of the jukebox. You know what? Standing on the promises of Christ my King. You know what I mean? He said, where did that come? I came when I was growing up in the Baptist church and people thought I wasn't paying attention, but it was getting in there. Amen? Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. Do you know how this goes? Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. And encore, yeah. Yeah, get the tape. Amen. Here, listen. He's baiting me because he knows in about 30 seconds I'm going to do that whole thing again. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? What is the Spirit of God? See, the Spirit of God is trying to pull you out of that mess. And you have to submit to the Spirit of God. You know what? Whether you got to listen to TBN, you know what? Stop. Turn off the junk TV and turn on TBN. Amen. You know, watch Sid Roth. I mean, you want to Sid Roth? Is that his name? Yeah, it's supernatural. You know, you want to kick in the pants? You watch a 70-year-old man who acts like he's 28 or something. This guy is awesome. How in the world can you, what's the Holy Spirit doing? You know, I'm standing on the promises of God. You know, how can you sing that and not get happy?
And guess what? Guess how I sing that? Just like I did, amen. I mean, how many know if you're in the room, you're going to get happy, amen? What? See, that's what God wants us to do. David's saying, why are you acting like this? Why do you put up with this stuff? And then I love what he says, and I'll close with this. He says, you know what? What I'm going to do? Why am I doing? This is illogical. God, who says hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God is being poured out in our heart. You know what? The word of God who says God promises never to leave us or forsake you. The word of God who says that he is more than a conqueror. The God that opened the Red Sea and delivered the Israelites. I mean, all you want to see is the blessings and deliverance and deliverance and deliverance through super. That's the God we serve. And he's going, why in the world am I have any reason to be melancholy? What I need to recognize what I'm doing, I'm not putting my trust in the Lord, and I need to put my trust in God. Because as soon as I put my trust, as soon as I put my trust in God, that depression will leave. Because you'll recognize, oh, God is a good God. How many hearing God speak to you in some way today? How many of you recognize? I'm asking you to raise your hand. How many recognize, you know what? I have allowed myself to be too sad for too long, and it has gripped me, and this message I needed to hear. Raise your hand if that's you. All over. Father, help us. Help us. Help us to hear what God has spoke to us. Help us. Yes, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I think we have to remember that we keep our focus God. If we keep God our focus, we can't get off. And when our emotions, which are real, they're part of us, they're God-given even, it's part of who we are, it's part of who God made us, but when they start to get off of the truth of the Word of God, it's our job to yank them back. I remember, this is kind of a funny story because it's kind of ridiculous, but nonetheless, it's real. And I bet you could look in your life and find ridiculous things, too. We were apartment managers. We had a two-bedroom. Gosh, where do we live then? Let me think real quick. We had a two-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, or bath and a half. Two-bedroom, bath and a half place with a two-car garage in San Gabriel. We had fixed it all up. We had been there for years. We put a wash and dryer. Like, we just had it going on in this little apartment. And we didn't pay any rent to live there. We were paid. We got our apartment for free, plus we got a salary because we had so many units. And so we were just, you know, minding our own business and building the church and raising our family, doing what God had called us to do. And one day, Pastor Drew came to me and he said, because we started working for the Son instead of the Father, and the Son was real different. And he said, you know what, Tamara, I had this conversation with Curtis. I was pregnant with Megan at the time. He said, we're going to, you know what, this just makes me uncomfortable. You know what I mean? We're going to look for a property that we're going to buy. We're not going to move in it. But it will be something that we can move into with our family, you know what, if we need to. And I said, okay. You know what I mean? Did I want a house? No. Wasn't even thinking about it. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And then when he said that, so we started looking for houses, and we found in our search for houses that really what we found is we were way more blessed than we knew with the square footage of what we had, because it seemed like every house that we found that we could afford, we could not fit our furniture in it. It's like the bedrooms were super tiny and the closets were like a twig. And it's like, man, our bed won't fit in. We can afford that one, but we can't even put our bed in that room because our bed is California King. And then what do? You know, we don't have no room. And so it just became you know, we're finding, and we finally, I think after, I don't know, I don't do time really good, 6 months or so of looking, we finally find this one house. We called it the Peach House. And the Peach House, because everything was peach. I mean, I don't know, someone got a clothes on peach marble or something, Ed, because this place, the floors were peach marble, the bathrooms were peach marble, the kitchen was peach marble, everything about this place was peach, all throughout the whole house. And then the color of the outside was peach. So we called it the Peach House. It's a beautiful home, but it was peach. You got to love peach or you're not going to like this home. So we called it the Peach House, and we decided we would put a faith offer on the Peach House because we really couldn't afford the Peach House either. It was out of our range. And so we put a faith offer in on it, and our realtor called us back, and like we faith offered like $80,000 below what it was, and they counter faith offered with I don't know, they took $10,000 off, $70,000 back up. Okay, whatever. So did I say I don't do numbers good? I'm never, just so you know, I'm never trying to deceive you. I don't do numbers good. If it really matters to you, go see him. He'll tell you all about it. So I'll never forget the morning. I was in the bathroom. I was taking a bath, and Pastor Drew said, George is on the phone. It was our realtor. And George said that they said, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. Can we do that? He said, we could, Tamara, but it'll be really super tight. I said, just forget it. That's not God. I don't want to be super tight. I don't want to be maxed out. That's not God. Just tell him forget it. So we told him forget it. He said, okay. You know, and away he went. But I was left with myself in the bathroom. And as I sat there, all of a sudden, I began to cry. And as I began to cry, and I started to get all sad, and then I started to have a big old pity party. I'm like, oh, God, you know, I mean, we're serving you, and we've done all this and done all that. And I'm going on and on and on. And this is just so sad. We can't even afford nothing. And I'm going on and on. And all of a sudden, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. I hear myself with my lamenting to God about how sad this is and how faithful we are and why can't we? And as I do that, as I hear myself, I just stopped and said, whoa, girlfriend, stop it. Isn't it funny? I didn't even want a house before we even started looking. You know what I mean? And now I'm sitting here bawling in the bathtub about how sad it is and how I've been doing all this stuff for you, Lord, and now we can't even get this house, and this is just super sad. It's like, what in the heck? When I caught myself, I said, what in the heck are you doing? Stop it. And I said, God, forgive me. Look at what you've given us. People, many people would give much to have what I have. You've provided us with this home. It's spacious. It's all fixed up. It's nice. People always come in and go, hey, wow. Right? And I'm going to sit here and cry? I'm so glad I caught what was happening. And here's how it happened. I got my eyes off of God. I got my eyes off of God. That was it. I could see Tyler and Shayla like playing in this little swing set that was in the back. And I had all these little dreams. Oh, how cute the little yard was. And it had a little fence. And I, you know what I mean? I was like gone as a mom. And I got my heart all up in it. And I didn't even want, and I hate peach, by the way. That would have been a huge problem anyway if I would have got the Peach House. I don't even like peach. You know what I mean? I would have had to be figuring out how I could do that. So I just said, God, listen to me. Forgive me. You have blessed me. Forgive me. Thank you. And then I begin to thank him. Thank you. You know what? For this place that we live, thank you that you have blessed us for so many years here. Thank you. You know what I mean? That we have, you know what, a two-car garage is just loaded with all our kids' junk and then some, right? I began to look at not what God wasn't doing, but what God was doing, had done, his faithfulness to me, just got my eyes back on him. As the enemy was really trying to get me to be very ungrateful to God, as he was, you know, luring me, you know, out of how unfaithful. That's really what it was coming down to. In just a split second, it was happening fast. You know what I mean? As I'm pity partying, telling God, why can't we have this home? We can't, Lord, this is sad. We can't even afford a home, and we're working for you every day, and we're building your kingdom, and we're faithful to you, and blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, I was like, amazing, right? And God was nothing. All of a sudden, I was super, super woman faithful, and God was unfaithful. I was super deserving, and God was not even one that he even cared. And it, just like that, I mean, just so fast, and just as fast, I turned it on a dime. I said, whoa, stop. I'm going to be content. You know what I learned years ago? Thank you, Jesus. Be content. Be content. Be grateful. Have an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful for, you want, listen, you want God to be able to do something more, then be super happy and grateful right where you're at. Because it's in that that he can bless and he can move us and he can do things for us. Because you know why? It's all about him anyway. See, what does the word say? To put God first and everything else will follow. And in that moment, in that tub, in that second, God was not my focus, like that fast. I just got my eyes so off of him and so on that house and so on myself and so on my worthiness and my deservingness, right? And I just went all wackadoodle. But I pulled it back quick and said, wait a second. No. God, thank you. And began to just become grateful and content in everything that I had. And that's that God can work with. Now I'm not tying his hands, you know what, with all my junk that he can't even move on my behalf. It was a week, and I thoroughly believe, we'll all see one day. You know what? Here's what I thoroughly believe. Because I turned it, just as quick as it turned on, I turned it off. And just as fast as I got off, I got back on. And it was within a week that someone had prophesied to us about a home that God would lead us to. And that only God could make it happen. Now, here's what I think. I think if I wouldn't have turned it on a dime in that bathtub at that moment, I don't think I'd live where I live today. I think I would have hindered the whole process of what God was trying to do for me all along. He had a plan. He's going to be faithful to me. He just needs me to stay with him and not put myself against him, which is what I started to do that day with what? With my emotions. And I just needed to keep it right. And so do you. And I could tell you lots of stories like that. You know what? Same thing here at the church all over the place. This is critical message. If you want to achieve everything that God wants you to achieve, then stay with him. Don't set yourself against him. And we get there with our emotions and discontentment and non-gratitude for that which we already have. And what I've learned is, whatever situation I'm in that I feel like I've got a need, oh, we'd like to have a house for our children, we need, you know, some new carpet for the church, whatever it is, there's people in whatever my bad situation always is, or my needy situation, there's people, you know what, that would give anything to have what I have at that moment. And that is truth. And if we keep that, we start to recognize how blessed we are. You can have an ankle that's just, wow, it's so sore, and it's been like that for a while, and you're kind of wondering, you know what? There's people that will look at that sore ankle and go, man, I wish that's all I had going on, right? And we could do this all day long to keep our heart right, and I suggest that you do. We just anchor ourselves in a good God who has good plans. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.